Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God today. And I sent out a notice couple times actually on the network and on the Kingdom News List to talk to people about this particular show. And I don't really know exactly what I'm going to tell you, but I know some of the things that have been going on this week. The early Bible, the early Kingdom of God on earth, which was called Israel by historians, was actually a peculiar kind of government with a peculiar kind of people, and the government was in the hands of the people, not like a democracy, but as a pure republic, where each person was king in their own household. And they needed to be led by God in the wisdom of God, writing his laws upon your heart and your mind. And to some degree, that was happening in early Israel, and it functioned fairly well for a couple hundred years. There was always problems because of the fact that there was nobody, you know, guarding the borders of Israel. It didn't even have borders at first, it just moved around. And Israel, as we know it as a kingdom in that little local area of the Middle East, was not all of Israel. Israel was all over the place. Israel was where God prevailed, is wherever the people that had the faith of Abraham put their foot. You can actually still to this day go all over the peninsula there that they wandered in for 40 years, and you'll find stones with feet, the impression of a foot in the stone, carved in the stone. And that became a little tradition for a while, that they'd put their foot on a stone and then they'd draw a little mark around it, and then they'd carve that stone out with their foot in that stone, their footprint in that stone. And of course, that was just somebody, you know, who kind of did that, and it was kind of cute and okay. But really what the Kingdom of God is about, Israel is about, is about the character of God written in the hearts and minds of men, and wherever they go, they bring that character with them. And that character is his name. His name is not Jesus. His name is not Yeshua. His name is not Yahshua. It's not Joshua. I mean, the name that we call Jesus, if you transliterate that into the word Jesus that we know today commonly in reference to this historical personage, was one of the most common names at that time in Judea. There's at least six fairly famous Jesuses right at the time of Jesus written about in ancient script. And they are different people. You know, I got a neighbor down here named Jesus. We call him Jesus. The name is his character. Now, where do you find his character? How do you recognize it? What does it look like? Well, it looks a lot different than what I see in most churches. It certainly looks a lot different than what I see in most synagogues, and I haven't seen it anywhere in any of the mosques. But I don't get into a lot of mosques, so that's not really a fair statistical reference. I'm sure, I have very little doubt, that there are people that have been raised Muslim, or raised Buddhist, or raised Jew, or raised Christian, and they are not far from the kingdom. Because that's the way it works. The kingdom comes by a spiritual blessing of grace. And that grace comes because we are followers of the Holy Spirit. You can blaspheme Jesus and still get into the kingdom. People do it all the time. because they're not really blaspheming the real Jesus. They're blaspheming the image of Jesus created by modern churches. They actually won't even, they won't call themselves Christians because they think a Christian is what is posing as Christians today in your modern churches. And they see hypocrisy and vanity and greed and sloth and avarice. And all those things are present in the modern church. So they're actually present to some degree in the network. But the network is not the church. Even the congregations of record are not the church. Even people that are claiming to be ministers and chosen to be the ministers of individuals, because we have, you can elect your minister. You can't elect your brother's minister. You see, that's getting over into the area of democracies and indirect democracies. You can license someone to be your minister by saying, I choose you as my minister. But the responsibility of the elder who chooses the minister is extreme and often underrated and ununderstood. Because that's how you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You don't elect rulers. You choose to follow certain people, and by that choice, they become your leaders. But you ultimately and those ministers should be leading you to be led by the Holy Spirit. You see, because that's what it says in the Bible. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, if you reject the Holy Spirit, you turn your back on the Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. You cannot be forgiven as long as you're doing that. So you can study and study and study and study and study to show yourself approved, but you're missing it because the word there isn't study. The word there is be diligent. You have to actually be following Christ, doing what Christ did, what the early church did. You aren't going to be able to do enough, but if you want to see the miracles of God, and that's what you're going to need in the days to come, you're going to need to be following the Spirit of God and doing what that early church was doing. And most people don't know what the early church was doing. You know, that's why we wrote the article on Corbin. Christ condemned the Pharisees because their Corbin was making the word of God to none effect. And most of the people today that are claiming to be Christians, born again, followers of Christ, are heavily or completely dependent upon the Corbin of the Pharisees for their salvation, which makes the word of God to none effect. And they don't know it. They don't see it. Now, let's, you know, I promised that I would, well, I didn't actually promise because I almost never promise, but I said that I would talk about certain things today. And I sent out a newsletter, like I said, on the Kingdom News List, reminding them that I would be, or telling them, notifying them that I would be talking about certain things. And I sent out notice last night about this program that I would be talking about certain things. And I said that I mentioned crying out, and I put a link to an article that crying out, which has some pictures added to it last night, which is actually part of the book, The Higher Liberty. But I talked about exiting Babylon, Egypt, and Rome. And I was going to include some personal revelations. Now, you know, if I tell you that I've had visions in the past, I mean, what I call a vision, and this was common amongst people who were the tribe of Issachar. So it's, and Issachar, of course, is you know, those passed down from generation to generation, or many of the tribes. So there were always these prophets. We see them in the New Testament, even some girls that were prophesying and everything. This is very common, should be very common. And I've looked at all the, you know, Lindsay and all these other prophets, guys, and what they say is going to happen, and their prophetic DVDs that you can get for $29.99 haven't been accurate 50% of the time. The weatherman is more of a prophet than they are. But yet people still keep going there because they got good sales pitches. If you notice, I have no DVDs for sale that prophesy anything. Yet I have seen visions. It was for me, and maybe for a few other people who were a part of those visions, some of those visions, to show them how this works, how true visions work. We just did a show on healing, showing you how most of what you see in churches today, and even people who are not in churches, claiming to be healing people on the street or whatever, it's fake. It's manipulation of the mind and emotions and feelings. Because most of what you see in churches today is about feelings. It's not about faith. It's not about, you know, faith in that Holy Spirit, the revelation of God. But anyway, what I call visions are so clear that I could actually read print on a book if it was open in front of me in that vision. Yet when I see the vision, I can see right through the vision in the room or on the street or on the freeway or, you know, in the streets of LA, just as if I was seeing those through this vision. I see both at the same time. And although I have been driving when they have come, most of the time, they don't appear while I'm driving. So I don't know if it would affect my ability to drive in heavy traffic. I've never seen one in heavy traffic while I was driving. And I didn't know what they were at first. I thought everybody saw these things. That's the way it is when you grow up as a child. You see things and you think everybody else is seeing what you're seeing. You don't realize that other people read the same passage in the Bible and they're not seeing what you're seeing. You think they do. And, you know, that was a huge awakening for me to realize that all these people that were trying to teach me what the Bible said couldn't understand what it said when they read it right in front of them. That was astounding. But anyway, these visions, most of them are about things in the future, traumatic events in the future. I mean, major traumatic events in the future. And so I didn't know what they meant because I never saw them coming to reality. I didn't realize it was a vision of the future. I just saw these strange things. What I saw was in the place that I was at, but in another time, a time far off. But then I've seen some that were immediate. You know, you saw them and then they were fulfilled sometimes within minutes. Details, absolute details of events. You see that minutes later it takes place. Some took place days and weeks later. Exactly, details. Like I say, so detailed you could read print in a book, and then you would see that book held by that person with the same letters in that. And there were other people who saw this at the time. And, you know, I told them what I saw, and it came about. So I understand now what that is, but that process was something for me personally to understand. I telling you that, you should not, don't believe me. That's not why I'm telling you. So that you, oh, well, Gregory's had visions. No, don't. You're not supposed to be following me. You're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're supposed to be letting the Holy Spirit write upon your hearts and upon your minds. And before we finish this series, we're going to get into exactly how you do that. Because Christ told you. And you've read the Bible. But you missed it. Most of you. You didn't get what he's showing you, the tricks and mysteries of the kingdom. Now, he tells you right out that most of why he tells you this, he does it in parables. So it can be missed, and you still think you understand because you heard the parable. It's kind of like a Bob Dylan song. You know, what's he mean? He doesn't know. He was on drugs at the time. But it's vague enough. You can apply any meaning you want to it, and you think you got it. You know, and he does that on purpose, because if he was just flat out telling you in the book, you would have burned them all a long time ago, because people hate the truth. So he cloaks it in parables. I put a lot of the truth in the footnotes, and you have to have a logical mind with the right reason in order to figure out what I wrote. I just gave you a clue. I use the word right reason. That's the definition of divine law. Divine law is right reason. We've entered the age of reason, according to Thomas Paine. But it isn't always right reason. Right reason is truth. It's what Christ says, the truth. What is the truth? Pontius Pilate asks. You know, that's the big question. What is the truth? And so when I saw those visions, I didn't know what they were. And then all of a sudden I realized, and I was able to distinguish when there are visions and when there's something else. And what the source of that vision is. Because I've had times where something's tried to give me visions and it wasn't of God. So you have to be able to distinguish those. In order to distinguish them, you need to get closer to God. And how do you get closer to God? Sacrifice. People are always fond of saying that Jesus did away with the daily animal sacrifice. No, he didn't. Well, yeah, he did. But no, he didn't. Well, yeah, he did. But no, he didn't. Both are true, depending on what you mean. There was an animal daily sacrifice done by the Pharisees. He did away with that. But that was never a part of the Israel. That was a part of the Pharisees in Judea. But that's not what the Bible is talking about, killing sheep on piles of stone. That's not the way the language worked. That's the way the Pharisees interpreted it, because they were letter of the law kind of guys. So once they began to stray from the Spirit, they ended up inventing this whole denominational pharisaical religion full of rituals and complexities that were so far from the kingdom of God, they didn't even know Jesus when he showed up. And the same is true of most Christians today, because they don't know what the first century church was doing. And they're not doing it. They got popes and preachers and big, huge churches with guys like Osteen and Billy Graham and all these things, and they preach a lot of good stuff, or at least, I'm not going to say Osteen, Billy Graham, you know, he's preaching love and all these kinds of things. But they didn't give you the whole truth. And they mixed in some stuff that was a lie. And they kept you, because they tickled your ears and make you feel good, they keep you from actually seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so on their watch, you've all returned to the bondage of Egypt. You are all back in Babylon. You have not overcome. And people are beginning to wake up to that, and they want out of the system. I talked to a guy, and this is going to be a continuous part of this story. I talked to a guy the other day who called up and asked some of the same questions that were asked before, that we've answered time and time again. Now, his personal journey had him in jail for 10 days, and he felt like he was Jonah swallowed up in the well, so he's going to recognize who I'm talking about. if he tuned in, he wanted to know when the radio programs were, which anybody on the network should know, because we send out notices every week. And it's up on the websites. And if you're actually seeking with us, if you're with us, you know. But he didn't seem to know. And actually, he kind of wanted to be on. I think he wanted to deliver a message about UCC redemption because he heard somebody talking about it. We've already been through all that. We've explained UCC redemption versus JC redemption. And it's a crock. It's not a solution. As a matter of fact, it will keep you from the solution. The solution you need reaches down to the very core of your spirituality. It will take you into your own personal hell that's already constructed inside your heart and your mind and set you free from that personal hell. And that will change you in such a way that your genetic code will actually begin to become altered. Amazing. But we're going to talk more about this. We're going to go backtrack a little bit, and then we're going to go forward and start showing you how to overcome and what it is you actually have to overcome to be free souls under God. We'll be right back. Don't miss this. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Been answering emails during the break and trying to clarify some things in people's minds. You know, we've been at this for decades and decades. We've been answering people's questions. And so what we've done over this period of time is when people have questions and they have these stumbling blocks, which they talk about in the New Testament, there are all these stumbling blocks that make people the Nicolaitans. Most Christians are Nicolaitans. They have the spirit of Nicolaity in them, and that's why they've gone into the bondage of Babylon and Egypt and Rome. Now, Rome wasn't always like Babylon. Rome started out more like Israel than Israel was at the time, or Judea was at the time of Christ. Rome was actually probably, some of the original Etruscans were probably Israelites. Like I said, Israelites were everywhere. They weren't just in Jerusalem and what we eventually call Judea. There was a large settlement there, and there was a lot of people there, but they were going everywhere. They were part of the sea kings. But you can't even find them all in history. I mean, they were up in the Ural Mountains. They were everywhere. They got around. That was part of the deal, that they would be going around preaching that kingdom, teaching that kingdom with their deeds everywhere they went. And whether the actual bloodline of Israel was in the original Etruscan settlers, or just they were affected by those Israelites who were traveling about, they formed their original government very much like early Israel. We don't know a lot about them. We don't even know for sure, historians are saying all the time, that we don't even know where the Etruscans came from. There were prophecies in Judea that the kingdom would be turned over to the Kittim. This is hundreds of years before Christ. Well, the Kittim were the Etruscans. That's what they were. So a lot of people have looked at that prophecy and they say, oh, well, that's why Rome conquered Judea, because it was prophesied that the kingdom of Israel would be given to the Kittim, which was Rome. The Romans, the Etruscans, who became Rome. Rome is actually a Greek word. It's not a Latin word. But it became a Latin word because, you know, these Etruscans, like the English, they were always taking words from other people. They were always learning from other people. But the truth is, the prophecy of the kingdom being turned over to the Kittim took place 500 years before Christ. And it was during the time that much of Judea was going into apostasy. You know, in 300, they were even going more into apostasy. In the Hasmoneans, they were going more into apostasy. And you can follow the same pattern in Christianity. What's posing as Christianity today is far removed from what Christ said. I mean, they use the same books and they quote the Bible and everything, but they aren't doing what Christ said to do. They aren't doing what the first century church was doing at all. They're doing, like I said before, more what the Pharisees were doing. And you have different degrees of this because you have so many different denominations. Thousands of different denominations. You got Messianic Jews, and you know, who are, consider themselves Christian in the fact that they follow the Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah, Messianic, Messiah, Christ. Those are all mean Anointed. If you don't translate Anointed, it becomes Christ. If you don't translate it Messiah, the word Messiah, then you see Messiah instead of Anointed. But that's what it means, is anointed. It means, and what do they mean by anointed? Well, there's oil that you pour on somebody, and that anoints them. But there is actually the Holy Spirit coming upon you. It can actually physically cause oil to drip from your head. That anointing is what you want. That is what they're talking about when they say the anointing. Because you can pour oil on lots of people's head and they don't get any closer to the kingdom. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, then they get closer. They see things. Their eyes are opened. It's an amazing thing. In your physical body, you can use oils on your physical body. I mean, you got essential oils. You got coconut oil. You got lots of different kinds of oils that you can find in nature that actually can cleanse your body. They can prepare your body so that the genetic signals being given off all through your body can actually be sparked and can actually cure diseases. Although we shouldn't use the word cure because we can get into trouble with the AMA. But they don't actually cure. But the cleansing and fixing the stumbling blocks in your physical signals inside your body so that those signals can be heard clearly by your body, your body heals your body. It isn't the oils that healed your body. They just remove the blockage. You know, it's like a giant, that's what you really need. That's what everybody needs, is a giant spiritual enema to get rid of all the you-know-what that is in you. You need to flush that out, but you're carrying all this baggage. You went to college and studied. That's where you picked a lot of it up. You went to churches and you studied. And you listened to men and you read their writings. Even my own writings. I always cringe when I hear somebody quoting one of our books, which we give away. We don't sell. There's a sign. You can download all our books, just about all of the books. You can just download them for free. There's some you can get for free, but we only give them to you for free. we don't put them where you can download them for free. Because they're just too powerful and too dangerous. I just added another chapter to, I haven't put it actually in the book yet, but I've been writing it. About sin, about trauma, and what it is. And we'll put it up, bits and pieces, up on the Preparing You site. So you can read it for free. But we may not put the context of the whole book on the website because it's a seeking you shall find policy. And, but anyway. So, visions. We talked about visions a little bit. There's another thing that always shows up in the Bible, dreams. Now, dreams are not visions. Dreams are something else. That's another way of God communicating to you through dreams. But, of course, we know that if angels can appear to Joseph in dreams and Joseph, the ancient Joseph of Egypt, could interpret dreams that came to Pharaoh about future events, that dreams can be used by God. But did you know that Satan can use dreams too? So how do you know if the dream you received is of God or of Satan? Now, a lot of people, there's actually not a lot, but there are some people who think, oh, there are no demons, there are no evil entities or anything like that. Well, certainly there are. Now, most of the demons that you deal with are walking around in pants and you talk to them on the streets. Then they live and dwell in the spirit of men. And those men themselves are demons. They're men born of women, but their spirit is demonic because they hate God. You know, and you have to develop a connection with God so strong that demons don't even want to go near you. They don't want to touch you. They don't want to be in the same room with you. And then those people won't be so dangerous. But if you don't have that power in you, and I can't teach you that, and you don't learn that by studying letters, Hebrew words, and all that stuff, you get close to that spirit and put on that full armor by sacrifice. But what kind of sacrifice? Sacrifice of love. The love of that Jesus. Love one another as I loved you. Because there's a lot of people out there that love one another, but they don't love one another as Christ loved you. And how did Christ love you? He sacrificed. So there we are back to that sacrificial love. That must go on daily in your temple. No, you don't have to kill sheep. You didn't have to kill sheep before. But somebody killed a sheep yesterday. And that's part of that story going back to that phone call. I'll give you a little insight. But there's a message in all this. And you have to listen to all the programs. There are probably going to be about six in this series. I don't know. It's not a prophecy. Anyway, I was about to go out. Somebody let the sheep go out on the desert. And I was going to come from another direction and be in the field, keep an eye on them. The sheep have been stalked by coyotes now for 2 years. We've killed a bunch of coyotes. I killed one that was actually just about to put his mouth around the throat of a sheep. I mean, it was just like feet away. And I dropped him at over 200 yards. And he was at a dead run. And that night, a coyote came up and defecated on our doorstep. I'm not kidding. It came right in the yard. I haven't seen that. I've seen scat somewhere in the yard, but this was at our front door the night after I shot one. Because shooting them is not the answer. There's a spiritual message in this. We get them all the time. Now, they're for us, and it doesn't mean anything to you, but I'm telling you, you probably get messages all the time, but you miss them. You don't even see them or hear them because your mind is full of you're going to figure it out. You're climbing around up there in the tree of knowledge, thinking that you're going to figure it out, and you're not listening to the tree of life. Do you know the tree of life and the tree of knowledge are actually the same tree? They're different aspects of the same tree. They're far apart, but they're right together. And once you understand what the tree of life is, you'll understand what the tree of knowledge is, and you'll be able to distinguish the two. But right now, most of you are climbing around up in the tree of knowledge. You need to get into the tree of life. You need to eat of the tree of life. You have the tree of knowledge, but you have to eat of the tree of life. And that's the problem, is most of you are eating daily of the tree of knowledge, trying to figure it out for yourself. What is good and what is evil? And that's why you come up with a pharisaical approach to things like, what's his name? It's all based in the same kind of tickle-your-ear, self-righteous approach to religion that you see in these false churches all over the country with the big sound systems and big screen TVs. You're not going to get any closer to being able to cast out demons or heal the sick or set the captive free, including yourself, unless you get out of the tree of knowledge and get into the tree of life. And you get into the tree of life by doing what Christ said to do, love one another. Loving one another is you need to become the entire social welfare of a people bound together by faith, hope, and charity alone. That's seeking the kingdom of God. If you're not doing that, if they're not doing that in your church is not following Christ. Because the people who are following Christ, that's what they were doing. The people who are not following Christ, the people who crucified Christ, were going to men who called themselves benefactors but exercised authority to get their benefits. Problem is, there is nobody out there really doing what Christ said. There's a few that are getting a little bit closer. We're a long ways from the kingdom. But anyway, a guy calls up asking about UCC redemption. We've already talked about this. We've got articles on the website. We've explained this. We have ministers who know right where to go and get that. And people have talked to him, but he hasn't heard yet. But now, 10 days in jail, he began to hear. And that's great. That's great news. And I appreciate his call. Although a lot of other people were upset because I did not go out and meet those sheep, and the other person who had let the sheep go thought I was there, but I was delayed by the phone call. A coyote ran out and tore the throat out of a sheep, number 19. Yellow 19. I shouldn't have a name, but she had an ear tag. And killed it. And by the time I got there, she was dead already. Didn't have time to eat it, but she killed it. And that sheep was sacrificed. And I tell you this, and I tell him this, because if you do not get serious about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and stop going off in a survival mode to get on your little property, and I'm not just saying this to him, because there are several other people right now that are listening, that are in the survival mode. Now, they do talk about helping other people survive, but they're not really seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They're still dabbling in the self-righteousness of educating yourself so that you know the truth. You cannot educate yourself to know the truth. The truth is written in you because you actually are doing the word. You're actually loving one another. You want to be a survivalist? Learn to love one another. The rest of the stuff will come. I mean, you just won't believe the miraculous events that are necessary to survive the days to come. Over there in that vision thing, I see those. I also see the destruction, unbelievable destruction, in waves of destruction. You couldn't prepare for what's coming. There's no way you could prepare for what's coming. Now, I'm not against doing a little prepping, but I want you to prep according to the leading of the Holy Spirit and not according to the spirit of fear. So let's go back to dreams. Now, we just did a rabbit trail. Now we come back to dreams. Rabbits run out and come around back to where they started. They always make a circle. So we're back there at dreams. Last 3 days, 4 days now, I've had dreams every night. Powerful dreams. I don't usually have those things. This is kind of new for me. Now, dreams are not like visions. You don't see, you see symbols. And you may construct them in your mind according to images that mean something in your life. And you can go read books on dream interpretations. And lots of people knew all kinds of things about dream interpretations. But Joseph was able to interpret the dream because of the Holy Spirit. Not because he was well trained by dream interpreters. He was led by the Spirit. Because he truly loved God. And you see it in his life. You see the fruits of that in his life. His ability to forgive. Just astounding. You see, if you would learn to forgive. See, people wake up, find out they're in bondage in Egypt, bondage in Babylon, and they realize that they've become human merchandise, and they cry fraud. That's a sure sign that you're missing it. Now, you've had some sort of revelation. You see something that most people don't see. But now you're crying fraud. You're straying from the path. Stop crying fraud. You couldn't prove it anyway, and there's no court to take it to. God already knows what happened. The reason you're in bondage, and the Bible tells you this over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs, David, and Psalms, everywhere it keeps telling you, through covetousness they will make you merchandise. That's why you're in bondage. It has nothing to do with fraud. Stop crying fraud. We have said this time and time again. We have articles up on it. We have it included in books. And I'm still telling it to people that have been on the network for years or a long time. And I'm not just talking to him. I'm talking to several people listening right now. Because several people listening right now have been on the network for years and they don't get it yet. Now, I'm not saying they don't get something. They probably wouldn't be here at all unless they had received some revelation. That's great. We got to take it to the next level. We got to take it farther down that path, that way. Because time is running out. Stop messing around in your old religious baggage. Dump the baggage. You're rich with knowledge, but rich men don't get into the kingdom. Dump the baggage. It's simple. Love one another. Gather together with the reason and purpose of loving one another, not saving yourself. Christ didn't come to save himself. If you're going to come in the name of Yeshua, you're coming to save others. That's why you're gathering in your churches. Write it down. Put it in a note in your pocket. Put it in the little leather chamber on your forehead or whatever it is if you're a Messianic Jew and doing that ritual. It's a ritual. It's not the answer. It's telling you about something else. It's a metaphor in the physical realm. So anyway, what were these dreams I've been having? First night was really powerful. You know, I woke up in a sweat. It was so powerful. And I spent the day wondering, what was that all about? Did I eat a piece of moldy cheese? It was so bizarre. You'd hear people yelling in agony and pain. Deep. I mean, I've never heard this kind of stuff even on TV or anything. It rattled it in agonizing reverberation. And there were cities down below. And people were held back. I didn't see the barricades, but it was like they were held back and they were finally allowed to approach the city. And as they did, they yelled out in agony. And I thought, did they discover that their children were dead, killed? And is that the agony? And those are the impressions, because that's the way dreams are. Dreams aren't like visions. Visions are detailed images of the future. I mean, Ezekiel had visions 600 years before Christ, where he sees four spirits, and he describes them. And one of them, I always love this, where he describes one of the spirits that had wings, two in the front and two in the back, four wings, two in the front, two in the back, had wheels. It rolled around on the ground on wheels, had a crystalline dome on top, beryllium dome on top, depending on your Hebrew, and with a man inside. You could see a man inside this dome on the top with the wheels on the bottom and four wings, two in the front and two in the back. And when it went up into the air, the wheels went up into its belly. 600 BC. He's seen this. Vision. That's detail. When it goes by, it makes the sound of many waters. And when you look up into its tail, you see a furnace, fire. 600 BC. What the heck is he looking at? Well, you go figure. That's a vision. Okay, that's how detailed the vision is. And he's describing it, you know, he didn't say it says X-15 on the side of the wing. He didn't mention the, well, actually, he did mention some other things, but we'll leave that to your own studying, but don't study too much. Be diligent in seeking the kingdom of God. But a dream is different. A dream is more impressionary, and it gives your mind gives you the images of the dream. And so what did those dreams mean? This agonizing night after night now. Although last night was a little different, but I understood last night what the dream was. And you'll have to wait till the next show to find out, because we're out of time. Until then, may peace be upon your house. Be right back.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.